the screen, Quranic stories unfold. On the screen, Quranic stories unfold. Wisdom and lessons in each tale told. Wisdom and lessons in each tale told.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen ma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome back to our series Quranic Stories. Alhamdulillah, we have reached somewhat halfway through this series and marking halfway through this blessed month as well. Inshallah, today we're going to talk about a very crucial part of Islam, a era of Islam which changed civilization and history forever. There was a time in Makkah al-Mukarramah where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi was born, his birth city, his homeland, which it became incredibly difficult for Muslims to live in peace and harmony in Makkah. The disbelievers of Makkah, the cruel people, were oppressing and putting the Muslims through severe tribulations. And it became like they were forced to some extent to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to command the Muslims to leave and head towards Madinah al-Munawwarah. The people, the Ansar of Medina, welcomed them. They said, okay, you guys come here, we'll look after you, we'll aid you. So the Muslims secretly began to go. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not leave until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically commanded him to leave. So Muslims began to leave towards Madinatul Munawwara, which was going to be the headquarters, the center of the state of Islam, and then to mark the center of the state or the empire of Islam in the entire East. That was going to be Madinatul Munawwara. So when the kuffar of Makkah, the disbelievers of Makkah, began to hear about and began to witness the migration of Muslims towards Madinatul Munawwara, and they realize that they leave Makkatul Mukarramah, this is not a good thing, because they realize that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his message is so clear that everyone is appealed and inclined towards it. So if they go towards Madinatul Munawwara, then people, maybe due to the atmosphere, maybe due to the perfect air, the barakat that descend in Medina, maybe because of that reason, those people were very soft and very welcoming. They would have accepted the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore it would have been a loss for the people of Makkah. So the people of Makkah, Abu Jahl, the main leaders of Makkah, they gathered together in Darul Nadwa, and they held, to one extent, a parliamentary meeting in Makkah. They sat down and they were going to make a very big decision today, which would mark the future of not just the Arabian Peninsula, but the future of the world. So they held a meeting at Darul Nadwa, and only the prominent leaders of the Meccan society were allowed to attend this meeting. It was a very crucial meeting. And the rule was in these meetings that only those people who are leaders in Mecca were allowed to attend. Anyone who's not a leader of Makkah was not allowed to attend. Yani whoever didn't have a significant role in leadership in Makkah, they were not allowed to attend. So Abu Sufyan, people like Abu Sufyan, prior to him being a Muslim, Abu Jahl, Utbah ibn Rabi'a, Shayba ibn Rabi'a, so Utbah and Shayba, Jubair ibn Mut'im, Nadr bin al-Haris, Abu al-Bakhtari, Zam'ab ibn al-Aswad, Hakim ibn Hizam, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Nubayh ibn Hajjaj and Munabbih ibn al-Hajjaj. These are much more. These individuals attended this meeting. These were prominent figures of the Meccan society. And there was also one other individual that participated in this meeting, and the rules allowed him, because only prominent figures of Meccan society were allowed. But this individual, he claimed to be an old man from Najd, an old man from Najd, who in disguise was actually the Iblis. The Iblis himself participated in this meeting. So you could understand how significant this meeting was, that Iblis himself had to get out in disguise and go and enter this meeting. And what was this meeting about? What was the main agenda or plan of action in this meeting? The plan of action was, what do we do with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So this was like the entire city getting together to make a plan against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So individuals in that meeting gave ideas and possibilities of what they can do to prevent not just Muslims from migrating, but to deter Muslims and stop this propagation of Islam altogether. One individual stood up and said, this is what I have to say. And what he said, this was his point. He said that, I think we should imprison the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family, imprison him, lock him up, and not allow him to be around in public. Therefore, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't spread. This would deter it. Now, Shaykh al-Najd, yani Iblis, he stood up and said, this is a terrible idea. And Abu Jahl said, do you know how powerful the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is? Everyone is accepting his message. So we cannot keep him here. So then another individual stands up and says, okay, if you cannot keep him here, let's send him on exile. Let's remove him from Makkah. At least this Meccan society will stay safe, according to their terminology, from the propagation of Islam. Abu Jahl and therefore Shaykh al-Najd, Iblis, they stood and said, no, this is a terrible idea. If these people enter into any society, they would end up spreading the religion. Therefore, it would be a loss. So they sat down and they were confused. We cannot keep him here in Makkah. We cannot exile him from Makkah. So therefore, Abu Jahl, he stands up and says, I have an idea that I don't think anyone has mentioned yet or even thought of. And he came out with this very cunning idea, which was as follows. His idea was that what we should do is gather from all the tribes of Makkah, gather one or two soldiers each from all the tribes, and send these tribes to go and assassinate Ma'adallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all at once. Yani to strike him from all directions, all at the same time. And therefore, every single tribe of Makkah will be involved in the assassination of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, the Quraysh, the tribe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will not be able to fight back and retaliate with all the tribes of Makkah. Therefore, they will have to resort to blood money. They would have to resort to blood money. And then he says that if all the tribes together was to come together and put in or share the costs of the blood money, it wouldn't have been a big task for them. They're all wealthy tribes. Now everyone applauded and accepted this idea. So the deal was in Darun Nadwa at that time that we are going to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'adallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding this in the Quran has mentioned a verse, is yamkuru bikal ladina kafaru, that when the disbelievers of Makkah were scheming against you. They were making plans against you. لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. Either to imprison you, or to slay you, or to drive you forth. To either imprison you, restrict you, or to assassinate you, or to exile you. These three ideas were given, these three mashwaras were given in Darun Nadwa by the disbelievers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding those people, Yamkuruna, they were scheming, they were making plans, they had ideas. Wa yamkurullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a secret plan or makes secret plan. Wallahu khayrul makirin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's secret plan is the best of plans. Subhanallah. So this verse, this topic of our series is the Quranic stories, and this also falls into the Quranic stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified a verse to describe what the kuffar of Makkah were doing in Darun Nadwa that day. What was happening in their assembly at Darun Nadwa in Makkah. This was just before Rabi'ul Awwal. If you know in our calendar of Islamic calendar, the Hijri calendar, this was based on the actual day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrates from Makkah into Medina. So the scholars, the historians have mentioned that the actual day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to migrate was around the first of Rabi'ul Awwal, and by the time he entered into Madinatul Munawwara, it was the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. This is what the historians have mentioned. So this was their plan, that we're going to assassinate Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter pay blood money in redemption. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has greater plans than human. So then what happened was, Jibreel alayhi salam was instructed that, O Jibreel, go and tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam what the kuffar have planned. Subhanallah. So now those people had Iblis on their side. Those people had Shaykh Najd on their side. Those people had influence within Makkah. Those people had power, they had strength, they had wealth. They had control over Makkah society and the different tribes there within. But Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had Jibreel alayhi salam, who came and told Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam everything. And therefore, the people of the Darun Nadwa, whoever was there assembled, they restricted from any outsider or any non-leader to attend these gatherings, these assemblies, for maintaining the secretness or to maintain the privacy of their security in that sense. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-seeing, the all-wise. He instructed Jibreel alayhi salam to go and tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam their plan. So he was also then informed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was therefore also informed that today don't sleep in your own bed. Stay away from your own bed today. And rather put Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahul kareem into your bed, in your place. Because the Hazrat Ali, in structure, in figure, in appearance as well, to some extent resemble Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave him his cloak as well, his mantelpiece, to actually lay down in his bed, because these people of Makkah had a plan to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this plan was all going to fail. This was, they are not assassinating regular person here. They're assassinating Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people in the past, they tried to assassinate his father, Hazrat Abdullah, when he was going to collect firewood. And animals from the woods came out to protect Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu an. Likewise, all the way up to his forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into a fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. So, and this is no regular man that they are about to assassinate or attempt to assassinate. And now, as they were all surrounding the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the night, they were ready to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meanwhile, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to the house of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, where his wife resides, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu an. And in that situation, when he got there, he said to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq at that point in the books is mentioned, he was feeding two camels. So he was nurturing two camels. And the scholars have mentioned that it had been around 4 months since Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had purchased these camels and had been upbringing them. He was feeding them, looking after them, maintaining them. And he was making them strong and healthy. And that gives us this understanding that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had in his mind that a time will come where we will have to migrate. And at that point, when we do migrate, I want to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And looking into the books, the truth is that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq actually had a dream. He actually had a dream regarding the migration, a very famous dream where he seen the sun, where he seen the moon and the stars land into certain areas. It was lighting Makkah and then it lit Medina. A very vast dream it was. So he already had this indication that there is going to be a migration. And soon as he had this indication, he began to prepare two camels. And what's amazing about that point is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an, every chance he had to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not miss it. And at that point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an and said, "Abu Bakr, I must now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to migrate. Initially, I was waiting for the permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me permission." And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been preparing these two camels for us to migrate together." Subhanallah. And it was like the situation was such that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq wanted to just be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through thick and thin, no matter what the circumstances are. No matter what the circumstances are, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wanted to be with the Prophet. So he did not miss any chance. He took an entire opportunity to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is a true companion, a loyal companion. And why wouldn't he be loyal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? As he is the best of mankind, he is the final Prophet, he is the source of salvation for humanity. So therefore, they didn't rest that night, and they basically left. But meanwhile, as they returned, they walked past the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to recite the verses of Surah Yasin. And what happened was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had picked up some dust or some sand from the ground, and those individuals that were marked or they were positioned outside the house of the Prophet ﷺ waiting for sunrise, they knew he's going to get up and they will assassinate him. The Prophet ﷺ picked up some dust and put it on each and everyone's head onto the hair. And whilst he was reciting these verses, and the verse actually, we covered them and they were unable to see. So they did not even see that the person that they are going to assassinate has just double-crossed them, has just walked right past them. They were unable to see. But an onlooker, someone was in the distance and he seen that these individuals surrounding the house of the Prophet ﷺ, someone has just gone past them all, picked up some dust and placed it on their head. Subhanallah. And that man came and said, who are you looking for? They said, we're waiting for individual to get up, and once he gets up, we will attempt to assassinate him. He says, no, Muhammad Rasulullah has walked past. They said, how could he have walked past? He said, check your head. I saw him put dust on your head. And when they checked their heads, they had soil on their heads. So they realized we've been double crossed. Now in the morning, when Hazrat Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he gets up. Now he, it was an amazing story. Hazrat Ali, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, says to him that, ya Ali, in the morning, you will come and join me. Or you will make your way to Al-Madinah, and you will give back all of the amanat, the trusts that the people of Makkah have trusted me with. I will give you the responsibility of returning all them trusts back to the people of Makkah. Now understand, this point is just miraculous. So the people of Makkah had set up an entire assembly to assassinate Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all of their trusts, had everything. That, so their main possessions you would give to one individual to look after, and you'd give it to the most trusted person. Right? Someone that you know, no matter what happens, this person will never ever betray you. So the people that the assembly of Makkah in Darun Nadwa had retaliated against, those very same people that they had retaliated, so the individual that they retaliated against was that same individual that everyone in Makkah trusts. And they trusted him so much that, yes, he does have our amana, he does have our trusts. But he is so trustworthy that even if the entire city of Makkah goes against him, he will still not betray us, he will still not deceive us in our trust. He will return our trusts. Subhanallah. This was how loyal and truthful Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, that even our enemy, for the Meccans, even our enemy, right, is such an enemy that he will never ever betray us. And you could compare that to our society today. A person owes someone a few hundred pounds, and as soon as there's some sort of beef, he says, I am paying you back now. I was going to give it you, but now I'm not going to give it you. A few hundred pounds. This was the trusts of Meccan society. There were rich people in Mecca. They gave it to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they knew he's the most truthful, the most trustworthy. And his entire lineage has been so. But they had an issue of religion. They had a political issue against him. Now, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Ali, that in the morning you will come and meet me and you're going to return the trust. So what does Hazrat Ali karamallahu ajhahul kareem say? He says, that night was the most safest night I had ever experienced. He says, I could not sleep any better. Yes, there were assassins around the building where the Prophet ﷺ resided. He says, I slept. And he says, why? He says, in my entire life, when I go to sleep, I am never promised to see the morning. But when the Prophet ﷺ says that I will see you in the morning and you're going to return everyone's trusts in the morning, he says, when I have been promised to wake up in the morning, why should I not sleep in peace? SubhanAllah, this was the scenario Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajhahul Kareem went through. He slept, and he says that was the only peaceful night I ever had. For a lot of us, we would be sleeping in a situation where we are scared. What if they mistake us for being the Prophet and assassinate us, only to realize that that individual wasn't him. But he says, no, the Prophet said he's going to see me, said he will, I need to return the trusts back to the people of Makkah. He says, I had no fear at all, and they slept, and they slept, and now the Prophet with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and they had another individual who was their guide, a navigator in that society. They would have a navigator, someone who knows the ins and outs of the journey that they were about to travel, like a tour guide. You would have in modern day, you'd have a tour guide who would take you to exact locations and knows the safeties and dangers and different environments, knows the people there as well. So they had an individual who was guiding them through. And Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he realized, okay, we are leaving a trail. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, at a certain point, he picks up the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam onto his shoulders, and he walks the entire way up until Ghar al-Thawr, entire way inside the cave, and he places the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside the cave, carries him. Such a strong man he would have been, such a courageous and such a individual, that not only did he prepare camels, not only did he give up his house, not only did he give up everything for the command of the Prophet ﷺ, but physically as well, not just spiritually, but physically, he put his blood, life, sweat and tears into the mission of the Prophet such that he carried him up a mountain. And the mountain is not a small hill. It was a very, very big mountain. If you ever try to carry younger children in your home up the stairs on your back, you start to breathe slightly heavy. But this was an entire mountain, and there was no like a staircase. Amazing. So he carries him up, and then he takes his shirt. He blocks off all the holes. He puts him to rest. There was one hole uncovered. He puts his heel inside that hole so no light disturbs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes rest. This was the story of migration, and honestly, this is just the start of what is about to come, and this is the start of an entire new chapter in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually describes the events of the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically talks about that. But on finishing on this point, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he had his foot in that, inside the hole, inside the cave, a snake came. A snake came and bit, constantly started to bite the sole, the heel of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq did not flinch. He did not move. In case my movement disturbs the sleep of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not move at all. But the pain was so incredible, and you can imagine if poison is going through your body, it eventually puts you into cardiac arrest. Your nervous system, and you know what poison does to the body is famously known. But the pain was so severe that his tear ended up dropping on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up. And then we started to see a sequence of miracles from there on. At that point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his blessed saliva and placed it on the heel of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, which not just took away the pain, not just healed the poison, removed. Basically, he felt perfect, like it never happened. This was one of the first miracles from Hijrah Oh, well, it was one of many miracles in Hijrah. And that's where the calendar of Islamic history starts to some extent. And that is another story from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand these stories, allow these stories to impact our understanding of Islam. Ameen bijahi nabi l-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
On the screen, Quranic stories unfold. On the screen, Quranic stories unfold. Wisdom and lessons in each tale told. Wisdom and lessons in each tale told.